Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority. Woo-hoo! WFXS America. 98.7 The Fox City Knowledge. Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys. 98.7 The Fox.
Well, let's see what trouble we can get into today. What a crazy, manic, maniacal, Monday. It's a Monday. Hi, friends. How are you? Scott Giese with you here for Let's Talk for a Monday morning show. Again, our friend Jeff Byers, he's having fun in a forest someplace out west in Wyoming. He and his family are taking a much-deserved vacation to Yellowstone Park. I want to go to Yellowstone Park sometime. I actually did hear from him briefly over the weekend, so the Grizzlies haven't gotten him yet. Thank goodness for him. So he is out actually for the entire week. Oh, you lucky listener, you. Holy moly, you got me for a week. And a lot of guests, which we'll talk about in a little bit. In the meantime, today we have an open line program. Lots to go over. Later on next hour, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will join us, of course, to talk about weather. Hope you had a happy Easter. I mean, the weekend cooperated, right? Saturday was a little warm. I was doing some heavy lifting, if you will, on Saturday, and didn't take much to work up a sweat on Saturday. It was warm and it was humid, depending on where you were. Maybe a little stormy in some places, not so much in some others. And then Easter Sunday yesterday was, well, gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous, wasn't it? So hopefully you had a terrific Easter weekend, spring break, whatever you want to call it. All right, that's up to you. As far as schools are concerned, State College in Bellefonte, tough break. You're back to school today. Sorry. Did pass a couple of school buses on my way in. If I'm right, Penns Valley, Bald Eagle, and Phillipsburg also, or all those, have one more day of their Easter / spring break today. They go back to school tomorrow. So maybe the youngsters out there. Weather today, I'm looking out a window. We got a big, beautiful window here. And cloudy, definitely cooler. Again, Saturday, 80 degrees, I think, right, on Saturday, and rather humid. So, again, that storminess that showed up, no surprise, that was just going to boom. It'll get back to more normalcy, but I think without a doubt, it is spring, all right? And yours truly, I got to get on the lawn tractor either today or tomorrow, depending on my schedule. Time to get out and mow, all right? Well, some of you really love that stuff, all right? Gardening. I've got a pile of mulch at my house that I've got to find some time with a shovel and get it out around trees and all that sort of stuff. Too darn busy lately, but mulching and gardening, and brought the herb plants out onto our back patio area a couple of days ago. Like, oh, okay, I think it's time. We'll see from Joe. Now, if you're a longtime, regular listener, Joe has mentioned a bunch of times for quite a while, latter part of April into May, maybe some cold in there. By the way, 50 degrees is not cold, okay? Like right now, let's see, what do I got? About 54 degrees. That's not cold. Cold would be 34 degrees, okay? Could we still get some of that, or are we finally just past it? All right, cross your fingers. Open line time again. Up until we talk to Joe next hour, we have our sports segment. Boy, do we have a lot of sports. Holy, I've got four pages worth of stuff here. Woo, we got a lot of sports from a very busy weekend. We'll save that for the next segment. 814-954-7266. That's our phone number. As always, if you'd like to call in at some point to comment or say something or, hey, there's a such and such coming up on such day. Okay, that's why we have an open line program. We'll save the heavy stuff, if you will, for later on. Although the big story, if you missed it from this morning, is that I guess surprisingly, Pope Francis passed away overnight. Now, overnight for us, early morning in Rome. And I say surprising because he was out for Easter Sunday yesterday, apparently. He was at St. Peter's Square. He was in the Popemobile driving around, you know, waving to the crowd. And, apparently met with Vice President J.D. Vance and his family. I think this was yesterday, or it might have been Saturday, you know, giving candy to the kids and all that sort of stuff. In fact, when something happens overnight, it can catch some people by surprise. So, for instance, in my case, I'm signed up on my devices for a number of email newsletters, probably too many of them, frankly, but I do some writing of my own, and I like listening, or I like reading that stuff and so on. And so the announcement came out, again, for us, it was like, I think 4 or 5 a.m. this morning that it became official that the Pope had passed away, early morning Rome time, overnight for us. And I caught, before I left to head to the studio this morning, I caught one of these daily newsletters that probably it was finished last night and it just pumped right out this morning, and it mentioned the Pope looked really great. You know, hey, he was in St. Peter's Square yesterday, and he was talking with kids and so on. Oops. Oops. Now, if you're Catholic, you probably know this because I assume you follow this stuff. I'll be honest, I'm very Protestant, all right? But I follow news. And the Pope, of course, had a really bad bout with pneumonia where he was in the hospital recently for a while. But then he got out, and apparently he was looking great. He was doing better, I guess. And again, yesterday for Easter Sunday, he's out and about there in St. Peter's Square and, the Vatican and so on. And maybe it took too much out of him. I don't know. But this is tragic, of course. The Pope passed away just a few hours ago. And so now, if you're Catholic, as if we didn't have more to add to our chaos that we have these days, now a new Pope is needed. And if you saw the recent movie Conclave, which is about choosing a new Pope, I tell you what, I'll make a prediction. I bet not the rankings or ratings, because the Conclave is long done. For people that, I don't know, rent it or they want to stream it and so on, the statistical numbers, I bet the numbers for Conclave are about to take a hike, like whoop, because of what has taken place here. So, follow that story today. Obviously, this isn't something that gets fixed up in a couple of days. It will take weeks to pull all the cardinals from the Catholic Church together, and then they have to choose a new pope. Who will they choose? Someone conservative? Pope Francis was, semi-conservative, not in some things, which rankled some Catholics. Maybe you're Catholic and you're listening and you were rankled. Maybe you really liked him. I don't know. Pope Francis, the only pope from the Americas. In other words, North and South America, the only one. So could there be another one? Who knows? Again, I'm very Protestant. I don't know if there's any leading people. Could there ever in the future be an American pope? I think my thought there is probably no. Now, I've got nothing to go on except just observation. Like, there probably will never be an American pope. Now, again, I could be wrong. This will unfold in the coming weeks. So we'll see how that goes. All right, lots of things. All right, let's start with some lighter things here on the show today. Now, some of these you may know. The White House Easter egg roll is today. All right, they do it the day after Easter. This is according to this story, a 147-year-old tradition. Wow. So that would go back to the 1870s? Gosh, goes back that far? Holy mackerel. Somehow, now keep in mind, the price for eggs has come down, down, down. Remember when it was $8 a dozen, we were all complaining? It's come way down from that. Still not where it should be, which for me, $2 a dozen, I suppose. Maybe even less than that. But it's not there yet, but it's come way down from where it was. All right, $8. But apparently this Easter egg roll, they use real eggs. All right, now I had some fun with my grandkids over the weekend. We did an Easter egg hunt, of course, with plastic eggs, little things hidden in the plastic eggs and all that sort of thing. Nope, the Easter egg roll is real eggs. Apparently, it says here, 30,000 of them. Now, before you say, wait a minute, how much money did they waste on that? They're donated. Apparently, 30,000 donated eggs. Donated, it says here, by farmers and, yes, by sponsors. All right, this is Donald Trump. He's a businessman. All right, find sponsors. And he did. YouTube is a sponsor today. I don't know if they're going to have signs up. Meta, which is Facebook, is a sponsor. Amazon is a sponsor. Okay, so it'll be fun. Hopefully the weather in D.C. is nice, but 30,000 eggs. Whoa, that's a lot of eggs. Meanwhile, I'd like to see some pictures of this. Michigan on Friday, Royal Oak, Michigan. Without me calling up a map, I'm not sure where that is. Royal Oak, Michigan. They have what they call the annual Great Marshmallow Drop. Have you heard of this one? A great marshmallow drop. So there's kitties, hundreds of kitties down there on this, I guess, big open lawn area. And a helicopter comes in and drops 15,000 marshmallows on the kids. Now, of course, you get hit by a marshmallow. Okay, you're fine. 15,000, I don't know if they're plain marshmallows, if they have designs on them. I have no idea. I don't have any pictures of this. But 15,000 at Worden Park in Royal Oak, Michigan. The Great Marshmallow Drop. Now, for those of you that are old enough to remember, since we're on the radio, remember the old show WKRP in Cincinnati? Anybody remember that show? It was a hilarious show about a radio station in Cincinnati. You remember the episode where they did the great frozen turkey drop? Remember that? Remember that episode where they're dropping frozen turkeys out of a helicopter and they're pounding people and hurting them, and it's just, it's hilarious. When I saw this marshmallow drop, I'm thinking, are you kidding? Okay, hopefully they're not frozen marshmallows, that they're, you know, mushy marshmallows. But anyway, good luck to them. The Boston Marathon is today. It's always the Monday, right around now, mid-April. Now, of course, a little added importance, mentioned this last week, that we have the 250th anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord. That was 250 years ago Saturday. And that starts a whole string of 250 anniversaries for all these different things that happened during the Revolutionary War. I guess the next one would be the Battle of Bunker Hill. And that should be, I don't have a date, that should be in a couple of months, I believe. And so we're going to start having one after another after another. If you're a history geek, this is great. I'm a history geek. This is great. Of course, the big one will be next year. 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Philadelphia will be crazy next July. Just not this July, next July. We'll be nuts with all these things. Again, if you're old enough to remember the bicentennial back in 1976, I was a kid back then. But I remember that, and I remember dressing up in, you know, like colonial garb with the tri hat and, you know, vest and long stockings and all that sort of stuff. It was fun. I mean, it was fun. But that was a giant, giant event 50 years ago. Imagine what this is going to be next July. It's going to be humongous. Fireworks displays and history and all this great stuff. So, Boston Marathon is today. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, I come across this one. Now, not today, not tomorrow, Wednesday of this week. Again, we're talking anniversaries here. Wednesday, apparently, according to one story, is the 20th anniversary of the first video uploaded to YouTube. So we've had YouTube for 20 years. Now, how many of you, show of hands, wherever you are, home, work, wherever you are, car, raise your hand if you're sort of a regular YouTube viewer. All right, my hand is up. All right, it is, I don't have a number. It's stunning how many videos are on YouTube. Billions of them. Billions. And some of them are, you know, like clips of movies and TV shows and stuff like that. Some of them are instructive, you know, like educational type stuff. Some of them are influencers, you know, like, hey, I use this and I do that. Okay, whatever. And then some of them are, I'm a bit into like science fiction and stuff, and I was just watching one yesterday by this guy, I'm assuming an English guy because he had the accent, and it was about a, I don't know, a 20-minute presentation where, and it's a part of a series where this guy claims that maybe the moon is hollow. And he gives all this evidence, and he makes a compelling argument that maybe our moon up there, number one, the moon is hollow. Here's why. Not that, you know, necessarily that aliens are up there kind of parking their ships like, okay, let's keep an eye on the earthlings. What are they doing down there? Maybe not that, but just it's hollow. And then part of this is, has the moon always been there? Now, there are scientific theories that say yes, but yet, allegedly, and I'd have to dig into this further, people from thousands of years ago watching the skies don't say anything about the moon. They say things about stars, but not about the moon. And so this guy's theory in this video is that at some point maybe the moon was placed there by, of course, aliens. Okay, and I'm watching this and I'm thinking, okay, this is definitely different. But 20 years of YouTube videos, and there's, I mean, you can't keep track of them all. There's a bazillion of them. Whew, crazy stuff. So I guess Wednesday, happy birthday, YouTube. All right, there we go. All right, some other things. First off, I was out and about over the weekend, had to go downstate, and I noticed something. Now, I don't know if there's anybody from PennDOT listening. I'm assuming there maybe there is. Do you guys know this? So I had to go south, down 322 toward Harrisburg. And, of course, then to do that, you have to go over Seven Mountains. And normally when I go to Seven Mountains, if I'm going south now, usually there's that area where big trucks are supposed to pull over or slow down. And the idea is you're about to go down a serious incline. So slow down right here and then pull out and go slowly and all that sort of thing. If you've driven the Seven Mountains, you've always encountered this, right? More often than not, when I'm driving over the top of the mountain, starting to go down, there's trucks to the right side of the road. All right, either parked or they go into that slowdown lane before they start going down the mountain. Well, in this case, it was Saturday morning, and as I'm going over the mountain, there are no trucks there. None. Not parked, not going slowly. There are no trucks there. And I look to my right, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there is a mountain of trash on the southbound side of 322 there at Seven Mountains. I mean, I was stunned how much trash is laying by the side of the road. And, of course, I have to assume that's all from truckers. You know, truckers either that parked or truck, they just, I don't know, threw something out the window or something. I don't know about that particular stretch of road. But there are stretches of road, you've seen this, maybe you do this, where either a person or a family or a group kind of claims a stretch of road, and then what they're supposed to do periodically is go out and pick up trash. All right, maybe you do that. So, you know, get gloves and garbage bags, and you go out and you pick out, and I don't understand why the trash is there to begin with, but you pick up other people's trash. Somebody needs to go to the Seven Mountains, top of the mountain there, and pick up trash. Although I will warn you, you better bring a lot of bags, because it was stunning how much trash is by the side of the road. Now, if you happen to be in your car and you're sort of headed that direction, I suppose either way, take a look on the one side and you will be amazed how much trash. I mean, it was disgusting. How much trash is there? Bags of trash. Not, I don't think, picked up. I think probably thrown out by a trucker. Like, throw the bag out here. And it's ironic. Earth Day is tomorrow. All right? April 22nd. Earth Day is tomorrow. There's some good timing. You want an Earth Day project tomorrow? Go out to Seven Mountains and pick up all the trash. And then, I don't know, post a sign for the truckers to see, like, please stop trashing. Seven Mountains or something like that. That was just disgusting. It was absolutely revolting. Anyway, now while I was driving, now if you've been out and about maybe over the weekend on an interstate, I'm thinking 80, 99, 322 down south, 83, 81. All right, you've seen those big message boards that, you know, have messages. Like if there's a weather advisory, they'll put a little message up there about a weather advisory or something to that effect. Missing person. Every now and then I'll see some message on the message board about a missing person or maybe a stolen car or something like that. All right, you've seen those signs. Well, over the weekend, apparently texting and driving is now the big push. And I came across, I'm driving along, and I came across these sayings up on these message boards. Here's some of them. One said, don't tempt fate, texting can wait. Another one said, arrive alive, don't text and drive. Interesting. Another one said, texting and driving is clever, said no one ever. So in other words, obviously the message here was, hey, don't text and drive, don't text and drive. On every message board I saw on Saturday in this case, every message board I passed, they all had no text and drive messages on them. Now, I don't know, I was out of town in this case. We have a couple of these here in our neighborhood. See if the no text and drive message is maybe still up on the message boards, you know, here in the neighborhood. But anyway, first off, folks, don't do that. All right? Don't text and drive. For goodness sakes, don't talk on your phone and drive. Just drive safely, please. That would be great. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got a ton of sports, high school, college, and more in a bit. We'll have some open line time. We'll get to the heavy subjects. I'm going to see if I can explain Donald Trump to you. Oh, this is going to be fun. Stay tuned. We'll be coming right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. PIMP, located 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. No purchase necessary.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a stock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Get ready, Center County. Clearwater Pool and Spa is turning up the heat at this year's Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th with an incredible giveaway. We're giving one lucky winner a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs. This six-person luxury spa is designed for the ultimate relaxation experience. Featuring powerful massage jets for deep hydrotherapy, multi-zone LED lighting to set the perfect mood, energy-efficient smart jet technology to keep costs low, and, of course, the trusted quality of Hot Springs Spas, the industry leader in comfort and innovation. Want to enter? Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall before the event or visit our booth at the Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to take home this premium hot spring hot tub. Make sure to check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit us in person at our Center Hall location where you can browse our full lineup of hot spring spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our Imagine Pools and our selection of fiberglass pools by Ocean Reef. Win big this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Belfont Cruise.
Let's go, Bucks! Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
All right, the start of an upbeat week, I hope. I'm sorry, folks. They don't make good music like this anymore, but I'm old. What can I say? Let's talk here for a Monday morning. Scott with you again. Our friend Jeff Byers on a great vacation, that lucky dude. He won't be back until next Monday. So, folks, you got me driving the van, if you will, this week. We got some great guests coming up. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. All right, sports results. Oh, man. I mean, let me take a deep breath because we've got a pile of them, and hopefully I pronounce everybody's name right. Let's start with high school stuff. Now, it was a holiday weekend, not much going on except for one particular event, and that was track and field, the Jack Roddick Invitational down at Shippensburg University. Belfont, Penns Valley, and State College all had young people competing. What a day for State College. They were terrific. In the team score, let's start. The State College girls were second overall. There were a lot of teams and athletes at this event. I mean, it was overflowing. State College girls finished second overall with 61 team points. Cumberland Valley just won with 65 points. Altoona was third. Belfont girls finished 41st. State College boys won this event, and they won it going away. Their team score was, if I read this right, 103.5 points. The second place team was 45 points. Folks, this is a good old-fashioned blowout, okay? Belfont finished 19th for the boys. Penns Valley finished 52nd for the boys. Let's start with the boys. I'm not going to begin to mention everybody. We'd be here till lunchtime, all right? There's a ton of results here. So let's go for some of the, if you will, the top results. For State College, Jesse Myers won the 100-meter dash and the 200-meter dash. Isaac Opperman of State College got a fourth in the 800-meter run. 1,600-meter run, it was a state-high sweep. Owen Coughlin got first, Isaac Opperman second, Luke Bradbury third. Owen's time, 1,600 meters, roughly is a mile. I'm sorry, all those of us that are old. 4 minutes, 19.23 seconds. Good time. Theo Opperman of Stay High got a second in the 3,200-meter run. He just missed out on the gold medal there. Grayson Kimler of Penns Valley was sixth in the 300-meter hurdles. State College boys won the 4x800-meter relay. 8 minutes, 1.35 seconds. They won the thing by 13 seconds. Woo, that's pretty good. Also, that group fourth in the 4x100-meter relay. Adam Bell of State High was second in the pole vault, 15 feet even. Nathan Haas of State High had a good day. He won the discus, 174 feet 11 inches, was also fourth in the javelin. Andrew Pack Blizniuk of State High was fourth in the shot put. For Belfont, Zane Hummel was third in the triple jump, 44 feet 5 1/4 inches. He was also fifth in the long jump. So good results, especially for State High at this event Saturday. Now on the girls' side, Sanai Abdullah of State College set a record for the girls in the long jump at 19 feet 2 inches. That is an outstanding jump. I read a quick interview blurb that somebody did with her. She wants to get to 20 feet. I'd say she's got a good shot. Sanai also fifth in the triple jump. Devin Jackson of State High had a good day. She won the 2,000-meter steeplechase, 7 minutes, 12.47 seconds. Devin won this thing by 29 seconds. Oh, man, that's a blowaway. Also finished second in the 1,600-meter run. Alyssa Lipsky of State High, second in the discus, 121 feet, 4 inches. And the State College girls relay teams, they were fourth in the 4x400 meters, and they were fifth in the 4x100 meters. So congratulations to the winners. Congratulations to the placers. That's outstanding. That's quite an event. All right, let's move over to the Penn State side, although this first thing is not Penn State. The Women's World Hockey Championship wrapped up yesterday, and it was Penn State's own Tessa Janicki scoring the winning goal in overtime, about 3 minutes left, as the U.S. defeated Canada 4-3 to get the gold medal at the Women's World Championship. I mean, if you can do some web searching and you'll find video of this play. There's about 3 minutes left in the first overtime. Canada has the goal, or has the puck behind the goal. The girl's just sort of sitting there like, okay, what should I do with it? It's Janicki that comes in to pressure her. The Canadian player, frankly, makes a bad pass right to an American player. Tessa repositions herself. The American player makes a perfect pass to Tessa, who's right at the corner of the goal, puts it in, and that's it. And then, okay, I think we've started something here. Tessa quickly sprints to the sideboards, throws her stick into the crowd. Didn't Matt DeMarsico do that? Yeah, I think he did. This must be a Penn State thing now. We're going to throw our stick into the crowd. And then she gets mobbed by all of her teammates. So congratulations to Tessa and the U.S. women. Tessa scored 3 goals in the tournament. She scored 2 in 1 period against Switzerland. And then she had the clincher yesterday. She was named the player of the game for that effort. And if I'm correct, Tessa's only a junior at Penn State. So she should be back, I would assume, for her senior year next year. Got to get more fans to Penn State women's games. I'll be honest, I'm a women's hockey fan now, Penn State, and not nearly enough fans for their games. Admission is free. I mean, you can just go and see these girls. They're really good. So look ahead, not just to the men. We're all looking ahead to the men next season after the Frozen Four. Let's look ahead to the women. They have the potential to do some really great stuff. Okay, some other things. All right, let's go to golf. Senior Drew Nienhaus finished tied for 15th at the Big Ten Championships over the weekend. 105 players in the field. Penn State as a team finished 15th out of 18 teams. Nienhaus coming into yesterday's run, she was 5th. She had a 3 over 75 yesterday, but that's pretty good. She ended up 2 over 218. Fellow senior Michelle Cox had a 2 under 70 yesterday. She jumped up the leaderboard with that great score. Freshman, okay, I'm going to muff this name, Jurachea Jurathanam. I'm not sure if that's right. Terrific young player. She's only a freshman. Had a 1 over 73 yesterday. And so she ended up at 9 over 225 for the Big Ten Women's Golf Championship. Penn State baseball team at Medlar Field at Brona Park yesterday lost to Purdue. Final score of 11-8. They took the weekend. They won their games on Friday and Saturday. 10-2 on Friday. 13-6 on Saturday. Yesterday, Penn State jumped out to an 8-3 lead. Jesse Jokonski had a 2-run home run, but then Purdue just sort of chipped away, and eventually won the game. Penn State now 24-14 overall, 12-9 in Big Ten play. Tomorrow night, Medlar Field at Brono Park, Penn State will host West Virginia. Yes, it's the final Dollar Dog Night. Where's Jeff when you need him? The last one is tomorrow. Now, the game will start at 6 o'clock. I think the weather will be very cooperative tomorrow. So, I don't know, record crowd, record hot dogs. I'm not going to take any bets this time. It's just me. All right. But I'd like to see if I can free up my schedule for Dollar Dog Night tomorrow night. That'll be fun. Penn State softball lost to Iowa on Saturday at Iowa. Final score of 2-1. Now, yesterday they were supposed to play, and apparently they had some weather out in the Midwest, so that game was postponed. They're going to play a doubleheader today. I'm assuming the weather will cooperate. A doubleheader at Iowa today. First game at 2 o'clock Eastern, and then the second game after a brief break would follow that. Penn State women now 20-22 overall, and they are 6-8 in Big Ten play. Penn State men's tennis team concluded its season on Sunday here at home as they lost a 4-1 decision to Indiana. It was senior day yesterday. Seniors Sam Bossom and Charles Morgan were recognized for their careers. Penn State men finished the season with 12 wins. Penn State women also at home over the weekend. They lost to Wisconsin yesterday 4-0 on senior day. Seniors Deanna Lasorda and Yvonne Zafova were both recognized for their contributions to Penn State tennis. Nittany Lions conclude their regular season at 14-9, 5-8 in Big Ten play. Now, they've got the Big Ten tournament coming up starting on Wednesday. Oh, my gosh, all the way out in Ojai, California. All right, we got West Coast members of the Big Ten now, right? Time and opponent, don't know who they're going to be playing yet on Wednesday. Penn State men's gymnastics team on Friday and Saturday ended up fifth overall at this year's NC Men's Gymnastics National Championships. That fifth place finish, the best for Penn State since 2016 when they were also fifth. Senior Josh Carnes leading the way had two All-American recognitions. One was on the parallel bars as he had a score of 13.900 on the parallel bars. And Carnes also was an All-American in the all-around. He competed in all of the events, did well on all of them, and was able to earn a third consecutive all-around All-American award. So congratulations to Josh. A bunch of other guys had good scores. Kellen Ryan led the way on vault. He had a team-high 14.033 on the vault. Good score for him. And a bunch of other ones there as well. So congratulations again to the men's gymnastics team on a pretty successful season. Michigan was the host for this event over the weekend, Friday and Saturday. Michigan ended up winning the overall team championship. Penn State men's volleyball at Rec Hall. Penn State had to win twice against Princeton in order to be the EIVA regular season champ. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. They lost to Princeton on Friday night. They then beat Princeton on Saturday. Actually, a three-game sweep, 25-18, 25-20, and 25-22. But Princeton only had to win once, and they won on Friday. So the EIVA tournament will now begin at Princeton. All right, and so since you're the regular season champ, you get to be the host and the top seed. Six teams overall. This will begin on Wednesday. Princeton gets a bye. Penn State did not get a bye. They got the 3 seed, and so on Wednesday they will take on number 6 seed Harvard in the opening round. So we will follow the EIVA tournament later this week from Princeton. Track and field, the Nittany Lions had a strong showing at the Virginia Challenge on Saturday with 4 personal records and a couple of top 10 records. The women's 4x400-meter relay team got a first place, 3 minutes 36.10 seconds. The men's 4x400-meter team also got a first place with a time of 3:06.64. Leah Hatcher set a new record for herself in the women's 800-meter run, finished 9th in that particular event. James Onwuka made the top 10 in the men's 400-meter race, got the number 10 spot, or no, placed sixth with a time of 46.70. That's a personal record for him. Emi Erekosima was third in the men's triple jump at the event. Three Nittany Lions in the top 10 in the men's high jump. The best number there, Isaac Osifo, was second place. I'm going to go with inches, 7 feet, 1.5 inches, which was a new personal mark for him. Women's lacrosse, we found out, I guess this was last night, the upcoming Big Ten Women's Lacrosse Tournament is being held at Maryland starting on Wednesday. Now, Penn State got off to a slow start this year and then started catching fire down the stretch. And it's ironic, on Wednesday they have to play Johns Hopkins, who they just played last week in a regular game. So that is on Wednesday down at Maryland. Now, if they can win that game, then on Friday they will take on the number one seed Northwestern, who gets a bye in the first round. So we'll be following women's lacrosse as we go through this week. How about car racing? Yes, car racing. All right, our signal gets up Clinton County Way. The Clinton County Speedway opened up their season over the weekend in front of, a good-sized crowd and a lot of racers. This is dirt track racing now, and so they have different types of cars and different kinds of races. Timmy Bittner won the Race Saver Sprint Car Competition. Bittner grew up not that far from the raceway, so he's definitely a local. A.J. Hoffman was the winner of the Pro Stocks Competition. Jeffrey Weaver, who's also from Lock Haven, won the 270 Micro Sprints. And Matt Weaver won the four-cylinder feature event. So that begins the season for Clinton County Speedway, and of course, you know, weather permitting, they'll be having a lot of events. There were a lot of racers. That one race had 24 cars in it. Wow. So, hey, let's do some racing, all right? All right, Major League Baseball. It's good that the Ironhead's not here. Mr. Bucko fan. It's good he's not here, okay? His Buckos did not have a good weekend. They were swept at home by Cleveland. They lost yesterday 5-4 in 10 innings. Now, they did score 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth to force extra time, but Cleveland scored 1 in the 10th, and then they were able to hold them off and win. The Buccos now 8-15 on the season. No game today. Of course, we carry the Pirates here on 98.7 The Fox. No game today because they're hopping on planes and headed for the West Coast, where they've got 2 series in Los Angeles, first against the Angels starting tomorrow night late. That'll be followed by 3 games against the L.A. Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Yes, those will be, because of the time, late games. So let me see. Again, not tonight. This is tomorrow night. Airtime tomorrow night won't be until 9:10 p.m. our time. First pitch would be about, let's see, that would be about 9:35 our time. So if you're a Pirates fan, yeah, this week you're going to be staying up late. Sorry about that. The Phillies lost to the Marlins also in 10 innings yesterday, 7-5. Phillies had a 4-1 lead early. The Marlins rallied, took the lead 5-4. Phillies tied it up, but then lost it in the 10th inning. Phillies are now 13-9 on the season. They will start a series against the New York Mets tonight. And I shouldn't mention this, but my Orioles did not have a good day yesterday. They lost at home to the Cincinnati Reds. The final score was 24-2. Folks, I'm not making this up. It's 24-2. I have serious concerns about pitching with my favorite team. Orioles clunking along at 9-12. This is not what's supposed to be happening here. Yesterday, the Orioles had 5 pitchers. Those 5 pitchers gave up 24 runs, all earned, 25 hits, 11 walks. That's bad. I don't care where you are. That's terrible. You should see the earned run averages of some of these guys. One Orioles pitcher has an earned run average right now of 45. Another guy has an earned run average of 36. That's really bad. It's like, okay, you know, the Ironhead can complain all he wants about his particular team, but that's a football score. 24-2. At least the Orioles got a safety. Oh, man. This could be a long year. Could we please go out? Well, the Pirates, I think, are saying the same thing. Could we please go out and find some pitchers somewhere, anywhere? Just a thought. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we have open line time. Again, Joe Bastardi, weatherball.com, will join us later next hour. Lots to talk about here on a Monday.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn, next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream, just down the street from Beaver Stadium and the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
Let's try some lighter music because we got heavy stuff coming up here. Hooked on Classics, again, my favorite. The Ironhead would never play this. He just wouldn't. All right, classical music fans, come on, you loving this? It's called Hooked on a Can-Can. All right, enough of that. Welcome to a Monday program. Scott with you here. Again, open lines. I've got some things. Maybe you got some things. Maybe you want to chime on things I've got. Let's see what we can do for a Monday morning here. 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. Actually have a busy week of shows this week. Got three guests coming in, which is great. Tomorrow, sports. All right, our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24/7 is going to join me. We're going to talk about, I think, three things primarily. Spring football, of course, the blue-white game this Saturday. I don't know, I see rain in the forecast right now for Saturday. Hopefully maybe that changes, but we'll see what happens. So spring football, of course, NFL draft begins on Thursday night. What about Penn State guys in that? And just talk on all of this NIL money and where the heck is this going and what's going to happen. And Mark's an opinionated guy. I've known him for a long time. And so we're going to talk with Mark tomorrow about all that stuff. On Wednesday, our friend Dr. Michael Berkman, Penn State political science professor, is going to join me. Yeah, we're going to talk politics because there's plenty of things to talk about there. So we got that. And then on Thursday, Dave Gerdes from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau is going to join me in studio. We're going to talk about upcoming things. There's a lot of upcoming things. And maybe some other things. You know, all the chaos and craziness, does that affect tourism somehow? Grant money or other various things. If we assume that this continues, for weeks and months, like into the summer and so on, could that have effects of various kinds? So we'll be talking with Dave there on Thursday. So we got some good shows coming up this week. All right, let me start with this. Penn State Alumni Trustees Election is, I think officially it starts in 9 minutes. I believe this is online. I think it kicks off at 9 a.m. I think I have that right. And then we'll run for a couple of weeks through May 8th. So that would be, where's a calendar? I got a calendar in the studio. That would be 2.5 weeks. All right, 2.5 weeks for the alumni trustee election. Now, there are 9 elected trustees, in other words, alumni, 9 elected alumni trustees, but they don't do 9 at a time. This is a 3-year term, so they stagger it. 3 1 year, 3 the next year, 3 the next year, then the first 3 the next year, and so on. So they're only voting for 3 spots. There are 17 people printed on the ballot. Now, that's a lot. I think Center Daily Times had a story the other day kind of profiling these 17 people from information that they had given and so on. 17 people running for 3 spots. Whew, that's a lot. Now, 17, Barry Fenchak is not one of the 17. Again, he was elected 3 years ago. Apparently, how would you put it, ran afoul of trustee leadership, and so they found a way to boot him from the ballot. However, there's nothing stopping anybody from doing a write-in campaign. And if you've been in the greater State College area, I've seen several of these, yard signs right on the ground that say, "Write in Barry." And so Mr. Fenchak is doing a write-in campaign. Now, good luck with that. I mean, could he win? Sure. Write-in people have won before. Not usually. All right? Just don't. People go to vote. They see names on a paper or names on a screen. It's like, okay, I'm going to pick with these people. Yeah, the write-in line is like hiding down at the bottom. Now, if you want to do that, okay. That's great. Now, here's a statistic, and when I saw this stat, at first I thought it was a typo. And I still kind of wonder if it's a typo. Because I saw this number, I'm thinking, really? Oh. Now, I'm going to round off here a little bit. All right? Penn State, of course, has always been very proud of alumni. Alumni Association, biggest alumni association in the country. 732,000 people. That's a lot of people. 732,000 alums, and they would get to vote in this election. All right? Somehow, I'm assuming they have connections. They get word, okay, it's time to vote. Here's how you do it. That sort of thing. According to this, in the last election, which was last year, the last alumni election, and I'm rounding off a little bit, out of 732,000 people that are sort of on the list, 732,000 people last year, only 24,000 voted. Now, I did the quick math, and again, I'm rounding here a little bit. That's 3% of the total. That's terrible. I mean, that's abysmal. Imagine if we had other elections where only 3% of people voted. Pick one, mayor, borough council, township supervisor, senator, representative, whatever. Only 3% of people bothered to vote. And I have to wonder, 3%? I mean, that's horrible. Is it because the message isn't getting out to Penn State alums about the election? Is that it? So we have hundreds of thousands of people that don't even know there's an election going on. Could that be it? I don't know. Is it apathy? Is it anger at the Board of Trustees? Because, all right, some people would argue that they've made some moves recently that have scratched some heads. Booting Mr. Fenchak because of whatever he allegedly did or so on, or the fact that he's willing to challenge the brass to say, hey, I want some more financial information on this, 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 and this before we start closing campuses and spending $700 million on stadiums and other stuff. All right. Now, folks, you can feel however you want to weigh on this one. You like Mr. Fenchak, you don't like Mr. Fenchak. I don't know Mr. Fenchak, so I'm looking at this from the outside. But there are a lot of folks, I think, that when he was ruled out or off the ballot, there were some unhappy people like, Board, what are you doing? Okay, that's not what you're supposed to do. So maybe that's part of it. It's just apathy among Penn State alumni that, okay, these guys are playing all these political games. I don't even want to get involved, so I'm not going to vote. 3% last year of, eligible alumni voters, only 3% voted. That's horrible. I mean, that is horrible. Now, maybe, again, three seats, 17 names on the ballot, which, frankly, is rather overwhelming. I can think, now I'm not an alum, so I'm not voting in this thing. So I could see that I'm thinking, okay, I'm supposed to wade through 17 names to pick three? I don't know these people. I don't know. So forget it. I'm not going to vote. Just a thought. Why aren't Penn State alums voting in this election? They certainly didn't last year. 3%. I mean, that's horrible. So, again, this starts, I believe it starts in about 3 minutes, officially, 9 a.m. this morning, and then goes until May 8th, I believe also at 9 a.m. that morning. And then everything just kind of cuts off, and they count the numbers, and you have your three winners. Okay. If you're an alum, and if you're getting the messaging, and I assume you are, vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I don't have a clue. All right? You want to write in Mr. Fenchak? Go ahead. I have no idea. But just first and foremost, just vote. All right? For all the crowing and all the pride and all the alumni association is gigantic, biggest in the country, and then you have this vote and nobody votes. Anybody else have a problem with that? I do. Just sheer numbers. I mean, that's embarrassing. 3% is embarrassing. Come on. You can do better than that. So let's see what happens over these next, 2.5 weeks. Let's see what happens in the next 2.5 weeks with that. All right, very interesting. All right, over the weekend, more protesting. Oh, great. This time, primarily at state capitals. So down in Harrisburg, I guess several hundred people showed up for more protests against Donald Trump and Elon Musk, primarily just those two guys. Now, maybe you were down there, and if you were, I'd love for you to call in and maybe talk about what happened down there. Why did you go? I'll give you the floor, 814-954-7266. I tried to, read different stories and so on, either Harrisburg-based stories or more national stories, because this happened apparently in state capitals, maybe not all of them, but most state capitals across the country, on Saturday. They are protesting again, screaming, yelling, toting signs, all this sort of stuff. Okay. This is just another rage fest. We're just going to scream and yell, and somehow that makes people feel better. I don't know if it solves anything, but it makes people feel better. I don't know. If there's some intrepid reporter out there, somebody is behind this. I'm simply curious who that is. Somebody's bankrolling this. This is not just grassroots, like boom. No. Somebody's leading this. And I guess I would just like to know more information on who. And who's bankrolling it? Because, again, 50 states, 50 capitals, some money there. Who's been driving the show on this gig? I expect this is now a series, because this would be the second one. I'm sure there will be more. I don't know a date. If I had to pick one, I'd pick Memorial Day Saturday. Probably would be the next date for this gig. People will grant and scream and yell and rage and tote signs and all this other stuff. Okay. I'm reminded of a line that I used a bunch of times during the election last year, and it really went both ways. But it's a line to remember, and it's very simply, be careful who you hitch your wagon to. All right, it's one thing to scream, yell, tote signs, you know, all that sort of thing. Be careful who you hitch your wagon to. That you're doing something, this is an opinion, that you're doing something constructive, that you're doing something that will change things for the better for all of us, not just some people. Now, again, right there, oh, well, Trump and Musk, they're all about themselves. Oh, billionaires taking over the government. I'm going to take a break in a moment. And when I come back from this break, I'm going to try to explain my view of what's been happening the last 3 months. Now, you may totally disagree, and that's fine. If you do, I'd really like you to pick up the phone. I'm not going to debate and argue with you. I just would like to hear your point of view. And maybe a lot of other people out there would like to also. And if you agree with what I'm going to, you know, kind of toss at her, because I've been giving this a lot of thought in recent days, and I started, you know, I make notes, that's what I do, and try to, you know, put it together, why the last 3 months have been happening. Is it all just random craziness? And my answer to that is no. I don't think so. So I tell you what, look, we'll take our break right here. And when I come back again, I'll kind of give me some time to kind of, you know, put this out there. And then we'll have some open line time. I'd love to hear from some of you. Yes, I agree. No, you're totally wrong. Okay, fine. That's why we have a talk show. Interestingly enough, the show's called Let's Talk. So maybe we can try to do that a little later on in the program. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Welcome right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. PIMP, located at 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. No purchase necessary.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Hey, this is Joe Lednuski. Join Jack Quinn and me every weekday, Monday through Friday, 12 to 2, for PA Sports Midday, Pennsylvania Sports Network, and streaming at pasports.net. Jack, Joe, me, you, all of us. It's going to be a good time every time right here on these radio stations, Monday through Friday, 12 to 2. It's the Midday Show, boys and girls. Be there or be square. We're streaming at pasports.net, the Pennsylvania Sports Network.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream just down the street from Beaver Stadium in the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox Knowledge.
All right, now just listen to the opening lyric of this familiar song.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
All right, does that sound like the last 3 months? It does to some of you, doesn't it?
Up to the sky.
Of course, that's Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody. I was thinking about this over the weekend, that opening line. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. All right, they sing better than me. That's the way it goes. Scott, by the way, let's talk on a Monday morning. Again, Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. We'll talk some weather here in just over half an hour. But I'd love to hear from you. All right, 814-954-7266. Let's have some, I call it fun. This is a bizarre kind of fun, I suppose. But, of course, there's this back and forth and chaos and arguing and protests and raging and so on. None of this is good. And the idea is, you know, some people just think we're careening out of control. Are we? Now, David Brooks, I caught a piece from him, well, part of a piece from him over the weekend. David Brooks, a well-known sort of op-ed writer, New York Times, other publications, conservative, definitely not a Trump fan, not by any stretch of the imagination. But he is still a political conservative. Now, some folks would argue that. No, he's not. He's more liberal. Okay, stop. He is a political conservative who just thoroughly disagrees with Donald Trump. Now, they had a piece over the weekend. Now, this was in the Atlantic magazine. I didn't read the whole piece because, of course, they want you to subscribe. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. So I read just a piece of Brooks's op-ed that he wrote. I'm going to read one paragraph. Now, this is David Brooks, all right? Very experienced, very well-known. Very unhappy. He says, until January 20th, 2025, I didn't realize how much of my very identity was built on this faith in my country's goodness, on the idea that we Americans are partners in a grand and heroic enterprise, that our daily lives are ennobled by service to that cause. Since January 20th, as I have watched America behave vilely toward our friends in Canada and Mexico, toward our friends in Europe, toward the heroes in Ukraine and President Volodymyr Zelensky in the Oval Office, I've had trouble describing the anguish I've experienced. Grief, shock, like I'm living through some sort of hallucination. Maybe the best description of what I'm feeling is moral shame. To watch the loss of your nation's honor is embarrassing and painful. And then it goes on from there, but you have to subscribe to read the rest of it. Well, again, I could pull up the tune. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? I can understand how some people feel that way. Now, if you're a regular listener to the show, I've made it very plain. I'm not a Donald Trump fan. Three times, I've not voted for the guy. I just haven't. There are parts of him that I do not like. Some of the stuff that Mr. Brooks mentioned in that little blurb there. All right, the whole 51st state thing with Canada is just stupid. Just dumb. Why? Why do that? Mexico, I'm a lot more wary of Mexico. All right. A lot of our problems, frankly, are coming from south of the border. So that one there, I'm much more wary on. You know, the stuff with Panama. We're going to retake the Panama Canal. No, we're not. There's no way we're doing that. We're not going to retake the canal. That's crazy. We're going to take over Greenland. No, we're not. That's not going to happen either. What, we're going to invade Greenland? No, that's stupid. What do the 57,000 people of Greenland have to say about that? Well, they've sort of said, no, thank you, America. We're not interested. Again, the folks in Greenland, what they really want is they want independence from Denmark. That's what they want. All right, they've been part of Denmark forever, and they would like to be on their own. The problem is, again, there's Greenland's crazy. The largest island on Earth, mostly covered by ice, there's only 57,000 people there. That's it. That's half of Beaver Stadium, roughly. All right, that's the whole country. It's like, guys, I don't know if you could handle independence. You're not nearly big enough at 57 or 56,000 people. That's not going to fly. And, you know, lots of other stuff, too. That Trump, I say Trump and company, he's not doing this alone, as we've seen if you follow news. There's a bunch of people on the same bandwagon. And they've done a lot of crazy stuff. It's just like, why? What? What is that? Fighting with the Smithsonian Institution. Why? Why would you do that? And other various, you know, connected things. All this stuff with illegal immigrants and this guy from El Salvador who's down in a prison there, but he's not supposed to be there. Well, is he a gang member? Well, maybe not. He's married to an American woman. He's got a legal, green card and so on. But somehow he was accidentally sent down there back and forth and back. Yeah, we all get a headache over this, don't we? And we're saying, wait a minute, not everybody can be right on this one. Somebody is lying, or somebody's just wrong on this one. And the chaos just builds. So that event down in Harrisburg and other places Saturday, people going out raging with signs, I can understand it to a point, but if it all it does is raging, I don't think just going out and raging solves anything. It just doesn't. Screaming, yelling, swearing, F word on signs. Oh, yeah, that's very helpful. Yeah, that's great. As you can tell, I'm not a fan. So why has this been happening? Let me lay this out, and then we'll take another break, and then you can call in and agree or disagree with me, okay? For me, this boils down to two things. And again, when Trump and company came in 3 months ago now, they made it very plain, here we go, change. 4 years of the Biden administration, ugh, what a mess. And it was. It really was. The guy who wasn't all there, who was really calling the shots, millions of people pouring over our borders illegally, handing in a $7 trillion federal budget, knowing full well you only have $5 trillion to pay for it. That's not going to fly. They didn't care. Here it is. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. It was a mess. Now, if you're somehow still a Joe Biden fan, God love you. That's about all I can say. I mean, you've got the blinders on big time. You're not drinking the Kool-Aid. You're bathing in the Kool-Aid. You've been sucking down the Kool-Aid. No. Let's think a little bit here. Let's see if we can common sense our way through this. Yes, I'm being serious. Common sense our way through this. Two main things that Trump and company are going after right now. One is financial, and the other one is culture. Let's start with financial. Again, last year I was infuriated, isn't a strong enough word, when the Biden White House hands in a $7 trillion federal budget for a year, knowing full well there's absolutely no way we can pay for this. And that's been happening year after year after year after year. That's why we have a $36 trillion federal debt and now a $2 trillion annual hole deficit, which just adds to the debt. I've mentioned a bunch of times, if we keep careening down this road, it will blow up in our faces, and it will be ugly. I'll probably be dead by that point, but my kids and my grandkids won't be, and it will blow up in their faces, and it will be ugly. We have got to stop this. We should have been working this for a long time, but I don't, bureaucrats and politicians don't care. Hey, I got my power. Hey, I've got my influence. Let's keep spending like mad. Let's keep hiring more government employees. More. You know, all that stuff. Ah, that's fine. Oh, so we're in debt. Oh, I can find an economist that says that's no big deal. Who cares? Nobody cares. They'll care if it gets north of $50 trillion, which would be like twice our gross national product, and the money we're wasting on paying interest on the national debt, $1 trillion a year, that's like burning money. Now, those of us that have a family budget, which would be most of us, we understand basic budgetary, don't we? Of course we do. You can't keep doing that. You can't. And yet these politicians and bureaucrats, you know, what I call the ruling class, they don't care. Spend, doesn't matter. Keep my power, keep my influence, make sure you vote for me. Next time around, I gave you money. All that stuff has got to end. So I think, again, Trump's a businessman. I've mentioned before, everything he does as president is from a business angle because he's a businessman. He surrounded himself with business people. Elon Musk, Scott Bessent, Secretary of the Treasury, some other people. He's surrounded himself with a lot of business people. And I think one of the goals is, okay, we have got to stop this, and we've got to stop it now, as in this year, because we don't have time to waste. If we wait for Congress to do something, they're the A number one time wasters on the planet. Nothing will get accomplished. We've already seen it, right? All the back and forth fighting, Democrats, Republicans, Republicans, Democrats. Nothing happens, right? Nothing gets accomplished. Meanwhile, the spending just continues. So a thought here is Trump and company came in saying we have got to change this system and we've got to do it now, this year, which means, boom, let's go. And so as soon as they came into office, boom, they started doing all kinds of things. Now, when it comes to the financial, again, if you are, well, maybe your home, hopefully not your home, but if you own a business, manage a business, and you've got a situation where you're spending way more than you're taking in, you know right off the bat you can't continue doing that, right? Yes, that's common sense. And so the idea is, okay, preferably we need to cut spending and we need to raise revenues somehow. So that hole eventually gets down to zero. And then preferably into positive numbers. That's where you want to be. Any business person would tell you this. It doesn't matter, pizza shop, whatever. Any business person would tell you this. Now, the thing is, again, Congress moves unbelievably slow, like maple syrup out of the tree. And the idea is we can't afford to wait on this for multiple reasons. One, this problem's getting really bad. Number two, of course, there's a midterm election November of next year. Well, if we futz around and waste time trying to do little bitty things here and there, it's not going to work. So these folks came in essentially with a meat cleaver, and they've been, well, meat cleaving for the last 3 months. And yes, I've mentioned a bunch of times, innocent, hard, good, hardworking people in government jobs, unfortunately, are losing their jobs. Now, I could argue they're losing their jobs because those jobs maybe shouldn't have been created in the first place, because we can't afford it. Again, business, can't afford this, got to make do with what we got. And so you're seeing these cuts and slashes and so on to try to bring government spending down and then trying to find ways to bring revenue up. Now, that could be tariffs. That could be new trade deals with countries all over the world who in a lot of cases maybe have been taking advantage of us for quite a few years. All right? China's top of that list. Now, is China going to cooperate with us? What do you think? Probably not. Not in their best interest. So this is going to be a battle with the Chinese. Hopefully it will not turn into a military battle with the Chinese. But we've got a $300 billion annual deficit with them, and that's just unconscionable, considering that there are four times as many Chinese as there are Americans. You got a whole bunch of consumers over there, and we can't reach them. Meanwhile, we're taking their cheap stuff from Shine and Temu all day long, and they do dumping of other cheap things in our markets, and we allow it. That seemed kind of dumb to you. Yeah, dumb to me, too. Now, the other one, European Union, our friends. Yes, our friends. We've been defending our friends for decades, mostly at our expense. Not so much at their expense. Well, that's wrong. And then we have, I believe the number is a $240 billion deficit with the European Union. Our friends have been taking advantage of us for a lot of years. Again, we take pretty much all their stuff, but we try to sell our stuff in Europe. Oh, nope, can't do that. Oh, nope, nope. Oh, no, the tariff on that is going to be way up here. Nope, sorry, can't do that. That's from our friends. And so Trump and company have marched into this and like, okay, we can't keep doing this. Now, Trump being Trump, you've seen him. We've all seen him, all right? He's not going to go beg to these countries, oh, please, could we get a new trade deal with you? You've been taking advantage of us. That's not fair. Let's sit down and do a new deal. What? You really think that kind of activity would be effective? No, of course not. We'd be laughed out the door. So Trump and company, of course, are doing the opposite. They're pretty much coming in and punching people in the nose. As if to say, and I've said this a bunch of times, just to get their attention. Yes, we are serious about this, other countries. Now, if you believe the news reports, I think the tariffs have gone out in like 100 different countries. And 80 of them or more, maybe 90 of them, might be the number, have gotten back to us to say, okay, let's sit down and do a new deal. So for the most part, right there, the tariffs are working. We've gotten people's attention. And now, of course, you don't snap your fingers, you have a new deal. It takes time. That's why I think they've rushed this thing this spring. We've got to get this ball rolling. We've got to get this train going. We've got to get these people at the table. And we've got to get these new deals done this year. Got to get it done. Can't waste time. Got to go. And so what we see as chaos and craziness might actually be a strategy simply to grab some other countries and people by the nose to say, yeah, we're serious about this. It's time to do a new deal. We're tired of you taking advantage of us. Let's sit down. And hopefully, as I speak, today, tomorrow, this week, this month, people are sitting down from various countries. Allegedly, the European Union may cooperate with us. Come on, they're not stupid over there. They know they've been taking advantage of us for the longest time. Do you want to give up that advantage? No, of course not. You've been enjoying it, all the money we've been dumping at them. Well, you mean we got to get it down to zero? Oh, boy. Oh, man. So to do that, you're going to have to force them to the table. And I think that is what has been happening here in the last 3 months. So you can rage and hands off and all this other stuff. I'm sorry, I don't buy that baloney. This needs to happen. A total financial transformation needs to happen. Because we should be doing way, way better than we are. I believe Trump on that one. We should be. We've been used. Well, to get people's attention, sometimes you got to punch them in the nose. Sorry, that's true from your school days or any other days. So there's one. Then very quickly, number two, before we take a break, culture. Now here, I could argue a bit, all right? All this arguing with universities, like this thing, this dust up with Harvard, and canceling student visas for international students because of what, shoplifting? All right, I'm not saying people should shoplift. That's against the law. They should be punished. But they should have their visa just torn up and they get thrown out of the country? 22 Penn Staters, last time I checked, are on that list. Is that the right way to go? Fighting with the Smithsonian Institution? Now, I know there are some folks way out there on the right. They think, you know, they throw out words like woke, and they throw out other words saying that the left to the far left has taken over culture in this country, and it's running us to ruin and all this sort of stuff. I would support them in a few things there, but not all of them. And you're picking fights some places. Do you really need to pick that fight right now? Do you really need to do that? And my answer is thought, maybe not. How about we concentrate on the financial stuff? That's the major problem right there. But we're seeing these battle with colleges about anti-Semitism. Boy, we're hearing that word a lot. And DEI, all right, we're hearing about that a lot. And occasionally the word woke shows up and all this other stuff. And yes, we are arguing about pronouns and bathrooms and sports and locker rooms and all this other stuff. And it's just driving us all bananas. So Trump and company want to wrench the national culture to the right when, frankly, it's been leaning to the left. How about we put it in the middle someplace, which is, frankly, where most of us live? How about we put it in the middle somewhere? Is that such a crazy idea? Well, for some of these people it is, because they're on a culture war. Some of these folks, there's no doubt they are on a culture war. I'd rather they be right now on a financial war than a culture war. But I think those are the two things that Trump and company, and they're trying to do it, and they're trying to do it fast. Because among other things, they're looking at the so-called midterm elections next November, next year. And they want to get as much accomplished essentially by New Year's this year, so this calendar year, so that they can go into 2025 and say, okay, here's what we've accomplished. And hopefully they've accomplished a lot of good things. Spending down, revenues up, and so on. More people hired, companies willing to build factories and do manufacturing here in the United States when they, you know, hit the road before for other countries, all that sort of stuff. They want to get as much of that done by New Year's as they can so that 2025 they can say, here's what we did. Now, and of course, they would be thinking, here's what we did. Now, please elect more Republicans so that we can keep doing it. Why are we going through these last 3 months? I think that's why we're going through these last 3 months. Now, we're going to take a break. We'll have about a 10-minute segment. If you want to chime in, yes, I agree. Scott, I absolutely disagree with what you just said. Great. We'll toss out the phone number. Again, Joe Bastardi is going to join us later in the hour, talk some weather. But we'll have about a 10-minute hole there. I'd love to hear from some of you. Am I crazy or am I on to something? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we will come right back.
Get that feeling. Get that feeling. It's The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox is where you will hear Paul Skeens pitch.
Swing and a miss. Another strikeout for Skeens. That's four through two innings. Six up, six down for Paul Skeens.
And this is where you can learn that Key Brian Hayes is one of the best defensive players in Major League Baseball.
Bunnett, Warren Barucki now to third. Hayes, bare hands, throws, and got him! Terrific play by Key Brian Hayes! Magnificent!
Or perhaps you're just wondering, how do you answer?
Swing, fly ball, deep right field, cruises, hit a grand slam! That's how you answer! That's how you answer!
Stay tuned for more Pirates baseball all summer long, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And hopefully you remember how to properly use your...
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number three on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... Artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing, and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Daughter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Anybody remember Peter Gabriel? Sure, of course you do. I figured Sledgehammer would be a good tune right now, all right, as we transition into this next segment. Let's talk here for a Monday. Again, Scott with you. Our friend Jeff Byers sent me some pictures this morning, and yes, I'm officially jealous. They look great. He and his wife and little guy out the Yellowstone National Park. I'm like, oh, man, look at that. Just geysers and all this stuff. I'm like, you. Actually, I replied. I said, absolutely gorgeous. Because it is. So he's having fun. He'll be back next Monday. Lots of things to discuss. Now, I've only got about an eight-minute hole here. We're going to take a break, and we'll wrap up with our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, as we do every Monday. But if you'd like to chime in on what I just sort of talked about there, 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. You agree? You absolutely disagree? Now, if you do, okay, tell me why. I'd like to know why. All right, instead of the raging protest, toting signs, which I think is pointless, doesn't do any good, except build more rage. What are you going to do with that rage at some point? It's going to boil over and then get really bad? Or we get together and say, okay, let's solve some problems here. Just a thought. Now, again, I went over the financial stuff and the culture stuff. I agree with some things that have happened in 3 months. I've disagreed with some things that have happened in the last 3 months. What do you think? All right. 814-954-7266. Is it going to change? No. Because, again, Trump and company have come in and they're like, okay, we're making these changes and we're going to do them now. We're not going to wait. We're not going to wait for Congress. In some cases, we're not going to wait for courts. Now, then you get into some arguing and so on. Again, on Wednesday, our friend Dr. Michael Berkman from Penn State, we're going to talk politics and so on. I'm going to throw some of these questions at him because he's way more of an expert of this than I am. You know, this infighting between the executive branch, judicial branch, the legislative branch is kind of over here, and just like this back and forth that's going on. I mean, it's interesting stuff. Have past presidents tried to do things? Yeah. If you go back to the 1930s, FDR tried to force things through. In some cases, he succeeded. In some cases, he didn't. And the Supreme Court got involved, I think, on a number of occasions back then. So this isn't new, if you will. It's even faster. All right. We're coming up to the 100 days. I guess that would be the end of the month, right? Yeah, about around the end of April. You know, ever since FDR, when he started in 1933, his idea with he and his group, what can we do in 100 days? All right. And so New Deal and all these government programs and so on in the midst of the Great Depression, that's where the 100 days comes from. And I think ever since then, every president has been looked at, okay, what are they going to do in their first 100 days? And normally it's, oh, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit there. Not the freight train that we've seen the last 3 months. Okay. And again, none of this is random. It's not crazy. They have this idea. This is an opinion. They have this idea that we have got to ram this through in some cases this year to get things started redoing trade deals with all sorts of countries so they are they're beneficial toward us. Not, you know, going from negative to positive, just going from negative to zero. All right? Even if we do that, we make money. Like nationally, we make money. All these countries that have had trade surpluses with us, we've had the deficit. All right, Trump, the businessman, comes in and says, well, this is bad business. Why have we been doing this? Now, you might say, well, why did he do it in his first term? Good question. I think in his first term, he was kind of learning his way with Washington, like, okay, what can I do here? What can't I do here? And so on. And so he wasn't nearly as ambitious. Now he's on the second go-round, and he's thinking, okay, I learned my lessons from the first go-round, and I've seen all the nutty stuff that happened during the Biden administration, so as soon as I come in, off we go. And that's exactly what's happened. Common sense stuff. Is it going to continue? Absolutely. Now, I tell you what, look at the price of eggs. You remember weeks ago, we were all complaining about $8 for a dozen eggs. And people were blaming Donald Trump for $8 a dozen eggs. Which, no. That was because of that nutty avian flu and how we're culling chickens and eggs and all this sort of thing. Thankfully, it would appear we've gotten the hand up on that because the price for eggs has been coming down. Hopefully, it'll come down more. All right, a bit more normal, if you will. But there is a situation where the current administration stepped in and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. And they had a plan. Now, granted, their plan's only been running for, I don't know, a few weeks. Is the plan the reason the price of eggs has come down? Probably not. It's probably more that, okay, we needed this avian flu thing to kind of move off, like get it out of the way so that we get back to some normalcy with farms and chicken farms and so on, so that eggs are supposed to be the price where they're supposed to be. I'm not sure if Trump and company had anything to do with the eggs. They didn't cause the egg problem, okay? They didn't. But politicians, political animals, as I call them, doing what they do, any chance you ever get to point your finger at the other guy, see, look at what he's doing, he lied, you know, all this crap. Now, what we have to do, you and me, we're the regular folks, we have to find a way to look through this stuff. I don't care what direction it comes from, right or left. We have to look through this stuff, use our brain. Common sense, what happened, what really happened. Don't pay attention to the talking heads on TV, all right? Don't do it, all right? Just think your way through here. And so we'll see what happens in these coming weeks and months, tariffs and all this other stuff, and let's see where we are in September, maybe. Let's see where we are in September. Better off, worse off. And then start to make some long-term decisions. Yeah, some prices for some things are probably going to go up. They already have. All right, various things. Not because of avian flu, but because of tariffs and stuff. How long-term will this be? We don't know. We'll find out. Now, we have a call here, although this might be our friend Joe. Joe, is this you?
No, it's not.
No, it's not. All right, I'll tell you what, you got 2 minutes. Go ahead. You're alive.
Well, I'm actually just calling in to congratulate you for being open-minded, because I'm getting up in years and I've listened to you over the years, and I'd say you usually tended to be anti-Trump thinking, and I think you're taking a look at things, like you said, with common sense, which many of us don't do when it comes to politics, and I think that your perception of Trump learning the first time on his presidency is making a lot of these decisions happen the second time around. What I'm afraid of and this is why I called, is 4 years going to truly give it time that it needs to really run its course before potentially someone goes in and just blows things up again? So, sorry, but with no school today, I finally had a chance to call in and comment on this. And after listening to you, I wanted to give you kudos.
Well, first, I appreciate the compliment. That's great. Thank you. I always try to common sense my way through things, and you're right. Most people don't. They do the knee jerk, reactionary, the protest again on Saturday, which I think were pointless. You know, this just rage, just blind rage, does no good. Now you hit it there. How fast or how much time is it going to take to do really significant change? Doing that in a year sounds a little crazy. But I think that's their goal. What can they get accomplished by New Year's? And then next year is an election year. And so, okay, then we got to see what happens from there. Well, okay, thanks very much for your call. You know, could you get all this stuff done in 4 years? Well, keep in mind, Trump's got one term. No matter what this craziness, all right, this insanity about a third term, folks, no. No, we have an amendment for that. That is not going to happen. So Trump and company have one term, or Trump just himself has one term to get all this done. And can he get it done? And can he trust whoever follows him, if it's J.D. Vance or whoever, can he trust whoever follows him to keep the momentum going? Trump is Trump. It's about him. He's the guy. He's the leader. He has one term to get it done. Can he get it done? And so that's my view of that whole situation right there. That's it. So we got to take a break. We're going to talk with our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, about weather, which is also important. Again, we've got guests tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. But as we sprinkle things in there for the rest of the week, we'll kind of toss some things in there and hopefully maybe coax some of you to pick up the phone and give your views. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we will return after this.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. PIMP, located 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap, and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. No purchase necessary.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox is where you will hear Paul Skeens pitch.
Swing and a miss, another strikeout for Skeens. That's four through two innings. Six up, six down for Paul Skeens.
And this is where you can learn that Key Brian Hayes is one of the best defensive players in Major League Baseball.
Bunted toward Berucki, now to third. Hayes, bare hands, throws, and got him! Terrific play by Key Brian Hayes! Magnificent!
Or perhaps you're just wondering, how do you answer?
Swing, fly ball, deep right field, cruises in a grand slam! That's how you answer! That's how you answer!
Stay tuned for more Pirates baseball all summer long, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And hopefully you remember how to properly use your...
Get ready, Center County. Clearwater Pool and Spa is turning up the heat at this year's Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th with an incredible giveaway. We're giving one lucky winner a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs. This six-person luxury spa is designed for the ultimate relaxation experience. Featuring powerful massage jets for deep hydrotherapy, multi-zone LED lighting to set the perfect mood, energy-efficient smart jet technology to keep costs low, and, of course, the trusted quality of Hot Springs Spas, the industry leader in comfort and innovation. Want to enter? Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall before the event or visit our booth at the Bellefonte Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to take home this premium hot spring hot tub. Make sure to check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit us in person at our Center Hall location where you can browse our full lineup of hot spring spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our Imagine Pools and our selection of fiberglass pools by Ocean Reef. Win big this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Bellefonte Cruise.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With cloud fax solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
All right, last segment, we're going classical because we've got a classical guy who's about to join us. You talk about great weather. All right, to wrap up our Monday show, let's go to our friend Joe Bastardi from WeatherBell.com. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Very well. How are you this morning?
I'm great.
Everyone had a great Easter and Passover season, and we're ready to move on toward the summer season now.
Okay, now that let's open with that. Okay, now Joe, you're with us every Monday. And a while back, you were mentioning, well, we might have some cold April, maybe May. And every time you said that, Byers' face would turn all red.
We did have the cold. I mean, if you recall, even last Wednesday in the morning, if you were looking, there was snow in the area. Yep. And we went through April 6th through 15th being 8 degrees below normal, in line with that entire. I'm just astounded that every time we've had a March stratospheric warming event, you can bet that April 6th through 15th in the eastern part of the United States is going to be cold. It's every single time, at least since I've researched it since the 1970s. I haven't gone back further than that, but it was 7 out of 7. Now it's 8 out of 8. And when I said the March to summer, I didn't mean it. Oh, well, all of a sudden, that's it. It's done, because I think May will be cooler than normal and wetter than normal in much of the northeast part of the United States. The normals are really coming up now, and I believe by the end of May, our normal high is in the upper 70s. So if you're only getting highs in the low to mid-70s or something like that, that's below normal. What I did want to say is, I am concerned that during May there's going to be one or two major shots of cold air that, it could lead to frost or freeze situations. I'm just trying to time this up right now and looking at some other events that are going on. I'm not sure about that at all. But, once we get past Easter, I'm usually saying, well, okay, well, now you just have to focus on the summer. We've been focusing on the summer, saying looks like it'll be a little bit warmer and wetter than normal up here. And warmer than normal, mostly by nighttime lows, not by daytime highs. There's some summers, like the summer of 1988, 1966, they were very warm, but they were very warm because it was so scorching hot during the day. It was hitting 100 degrees. I believe we set our, in 88, we set our record for most 90-degree days in a row. I think it was 18, if I remember correctly. I do remember that my band at the time, the Hooligans, opened the arts festival at the Shell. We actually were the opening band. And I was competing, this was Thursday or Wednesday, I forget. I was competing Saturday down Virginia Beach, and I was really sucked. Like, carb depleted and everything else. So I'll never forget, we were singing Born to Run, which was my sort of, because I'm from Jersey, I love singing that song.
There you go, yeah.
And I almost passed out at the end of the song. And I can remember, trying to get those whoa, 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 whoas out at the end and just things whirling around. and me saying, oh, my gosh, you know, you're supposed to be like this guy in shape up here and all this, and you're going to pass out in front of a bunch of hippies smoking dope. But anyway. Fortunately, the riffs of Wade Shoemaker and Martin Sheridan now in the Rocket Blasters, their guitars just pulled me through, and I was forever indebted to that, because a couple of long-haired guitar players carrying you off stage would not have been a good look.
Wait a minute, what year, when was this? What year was this?
88. The heat wave in 88. Yeah, well, you know, once I kid around about now, I had a practice wife for a while, and once my practice wife ended over there, I decided, you know, I always wanted to be in a rock and roll band. These guys at AccuWeather can play, you know, I'll put up the stuff, just let me sing. And you know, it's kind of weird, because I was texting a friend of mine last night about some of the athletic teams that are not packing Rec Hall right now, they should do what my band used to do. We let people in for free and charge them to get out. See, that was always a good strategy. Hey, don't laugh, Neil. Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper, I just absolutely love Alice Cooper. I mean, you know, Alice Cooper is his stage persona. But he said, yeah, when we were playing out in the West Coast, people would come into our show just to say how disgusting we were and walk out. They said, we didn't care. We were making the money because we were charging them $10 to get in. So that strategy can work.
But, there you go.
You know, the big thing I'm looking at this morning, believe it or not, and trying to get the weather community aroused, which is hard to do because they're all just focused on whatever they're focused on. Certainly there's some weather going on with, you know, we've had hailstorms in Nebraska and all this other stuff in the central part of the United States. Is the amazing drop-off in sea surface temperatures in the Atlantic Basin since last year, and it's coordinated directly with the drop-off of geothermal input. Now, you know, I've been on this kick for the last 2 to 3 years. I've become good friends with a geologist named Dr. Arthur Vitorito, and he's been cataloging sea surface temperatures since the late 1980s, with the input of geothermal. And so 2025 could be a big year in trying to put to rest to the idea that, you know, we all should be suffering from climate anxiety and, among other things, because of CO2 input. But the wild thing is, I can't understand why people don't look at this stuff. Yeah, that's what gets me in my field. I don't understand how you are looking at such a large area, and you know, when you're looking at, for instance, a drop in sea surface temperatures from a La Nina versus El Nino, we can explain that saying, well, the El Nino, we know that event is a natural event, and it was +2 or +3 Celsius above normal, and the La Nina comes along and goes to 0.5 or 1 degree below normal, so there's going to be a drop-off there. We see that all the time. But for the entire tropical Atlantic basin and the southern Atlantic Ocean to drop off 2 to 4 degrees Celsius from where it was last year, I don't understand how that's not the subject of every climate scientist in the country today trying to explain that, unless they're just not looking at all, because it is a fascinating drop-off. And if you follow me on Twitter, you can have me, you know, when you're painting that part of the Atlantic Ocean a deep blue and purple because of the rapid drop-off. Now, I want you to understand that the water is not that cold yet. It's normal to a little bit below, but it's for instance, on the WeatherBell site, I'm looking at the sea surface temperatures last year versus this year. And last year, the whole Atlantic Basin was very, very warm. This year it's normal, and in some cases below, in you know, the tropical development areas, which is a big shift from last year. And, of course, that'll impact the tropical season. Even more spectacular is what's happened off the west coast of South America, where 10 to 15 days ago, we had sea surface temperatures that were 3 to 4 Celsius above normal. And so my friend Dr. Vitorito mailed me the catalog of what was going on, and there was a lot of a big uptick in volcanic activity off Panama and off South America, and sure enough, which up goes the sea surface temperatures. It shut off completely over the last 2 weeks, and now all that area is colder than normal. It's just flipped. So, you know, when nothing's going on big time with the weather, as far as, you know, us here, I'm always looking at some other things. And, you know, my job is to look for trouble and supply the forecast for it. As far as trouble today, we could get a thunderstorm or two this afternoon and evening. And any time you're at this time of the year, you got to worry that they try to approach severe levels. I was taking a look at videos of what happened in Nebraska with the hailstorm over there. It was a tremendous hailstorm in parts of Nebraska. And, you know, I got to tell you something. These people that are plastering the planes with solar panels, sitting there going, I once wrote an article on that the temperature over top of those solar fields gets to 70 degrees Celsius and does literally lead to a different microclimate. I call them solar deserts, which is what they are. But I'm trying to figure out, well, what's going to happen to a thunderstorm when it's approaching one of these large areas where and I'm not talking about what we have at Mount Nittany Medical Center. I mean, they're plastering entire fields with this stuff. So we're not growing corn, we're growing solar panels out there. So what happens is, what happens when one of these thunderstorms approaches? And I've seen pictures of what the hail does to these. So, and the wind turbines, it's like the wind turbines, when it's hailing in a wind turbine, it's like they're playing baseball hitting them at you. So I guess it'll be interesting. We don't have to worry about that here. I do not believe that our solar panels at Mount Nittany Medical Center will be wiped out by any thunderstorm today. So no need to worry over there. Keep building what you're building. Just in case someday I get sick, I don't want you to say, hey, this is a guy giving us problems about our solar panels over here. We will protect your solar panels from hailstorms here in Center County. Don't worry about it.
There we go. All right, Joe, we got 30 seconds. I'm just curious. Blue-white game, football game Saturday. What do you think?
Oh, my gosh, I forgot.
Not the game, the weather.
I know. Okay, let me just look at this real quick. I forgot because... Well, first of all, I mean, the huge event for me is, I'm competing Saturday, but more important than that is, you know, our wrestlers who are out at Las Vegas in the Open.
Yeah.
I am not optimistic about Saturday. I am not optimistic about Saturday at all. As a matter of fact, as I'm looking at this, I'm very pessimistic. I was just thinking, well, Joe, why didn't you include that in the forecast? It's because the other day I was looking at it going, oh, I'll keep my mouth shut about this right now until I'm sure. But Saturday does not look good.
Oh, boy.
All right, showers and thunderstorms. Let me see what the let's take a look at the...
Got about 10 seconds.
Oh, my gosh, it's going to happen.
That won't do it.
Okay, well, maybe tomorrow it'll change. Enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
All right, Joe. Thank you very much. Our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Today's not bad, folks. Have a great Monday.
Get that feeling. Get that feeling. This is the Fox.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.